It's Tuesday afternoon, December 7th.
Pearl Harbor Day.
And we've been having a good discussion here. Glenn suggested it be recorded, so it's being recorded. But Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time now. That your light would shine. Your light would shine. By your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I had heard in connection with the woman at the well, it was on a Catholic radio station, you know, and what they were saying was that he was making the woman confront her sinfulness for these five men, and boy, I don't get any feeling like that at all.
I don't either.
No.
You know, it's just not what's going on there.
No.
She doesn't act like, you know.
I don't think he ever said repent, did he?
No, he didn't say anything like that. No, she just said, I perceive you're a prophet.
Yeah,
right. She goes, you obviously know things.
All right. But he did tell her. At the end, when you told her about the living water.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's right.
At the end, you did.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, but that was at the end.
He didn't condemn her or anything.
No. He didn't.
No.
Nor did he. Yeah, he didn't ask. No.
Go back a quick little note on Mary. It's like when you stop and think about, first you have an angel visit you. Tells you, I think you're going to be paying attention from then on quite a bit, you know, to what your son's going to be.
Your spiritual antenna goes up and goes, yeah, man.
Yeah. And what happened with her aunt, was it?
Elizabeth?
Yeah. You mention that.
I mean, that was not common either. That was kind of extraordinary.
Left in her womb, right?
Yeah.
The mother of my Lord. Yeah. Yeah. I love what Mary said to the angel. Be it unto me according to thy word. You know, we would say the same thing.
You know, and then
say the same thing.
And she says that prayer later, and about herself even. But you can tell she's not bragging or anything like that. She just
blessed.
Knows she's been blessed.
Yeah.
You know, and that I like that prayer. She puts some things very nicely in there, you know, that's about her, but not taking credit.
Yeah.
And there's a scripture that says that God is not a man that he should lie.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And so if Jesus changed the truth in any way, he was that God.
Yeah. Right, or she did, or anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Or, give the man credit for a little ignorance on things he doesn't know. You know? I mean, first he doesn't know it, and then he does. It's my interpretation. Now, both people can argue. There's another thing going on there. Well, the text looks convincing to me that he doesn't know and that he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But
there's just enough stuff sprinkled in there to make you go, but a guy can't do this. I mean, when's the last time you knocked out a 40-day fast?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, or when's the last time you sweat blood? So there's these things that he did that were documented, and they go, a mere mortal can't do that. Now, one would argue that, I don't know. You might be able to, but...
He wasn't a mere mortal, but yeah.
Well, you would say a man.
Yeah,
but then, you have to have the revelation that a man can't do that, but a man with the power of God in him can do a lot.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the missing part.
But an ordinary man, in my opinion, would not last 40 days in his desert without food or water. I don't see how one push could for right. 40 days.
Well, but he responds at one
no,
point.
I thought, yeah, but there, no, like for me, let's say, I'm an ordinary man, like you, any of us. We last
unless
40 days.
God, but he was sent there, so if you were sent there by God, and he put an anointing on
supplied.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah,
he's not an ordinary man.
Yes.
Oh.
You
know,
well.
But being, you know.
The angels ministered unto him, and they probably ministered unto him a little earlier too. I mean, you know, you die of thirst before you die of hunger.
True.
Right. You know, so he must have been hydrated somehow.
So I thought somebody else fasted 40 days.
I don't know. I forgot to get a little quick reference.
Elijah did. When he ran from Jezebel.
Elijah, yeah.
And he went for 40 days, and he ran for 40 days on what he had eaten for the raven gave him.
And the ravens fed him?
Yeah.
He went 40 days though, huh?
I think so.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, maybe while you're looking that up, I'm gonna read what Mary said. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. I guess that's about all that she kind of refers to herself. But
yeah, well, it's not, then it's characteristic of him to bless the poor, and then if you're rich and have a high regard for yourself, things don't go so well. Isn't that somehow expressed in that?
Let's see. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts.
Yeah.
He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly.
Yes, yes.
He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty.
Mm-hmm.
He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Good point.
Yeah.
You knew the second part of the prayer. Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know if it's actually a prayer. It's kind of a proclamation.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Was it Elijah?
There are three people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you will all be school, well, of course. Jesus, Elijah, and Moses.
Moses went 40 days. He was up on the mountain.
I heard 40 days somewhere else, according to fasting.
So
there's a lot of reference 40 days for a lot of things, but, you know,
there's a
40 years, 40 days.
They said there's a ton of significance to the number 40.
Yeah.
There's, you know, the flood, the 40-day fasting. Some of the other ones were like someone... playing on their side for 40 days.
Oh, yeah. That was...
What was that? Jeremiah was...
Ezekiel laid
Ezekiel,
on his right
okay.
side for 40 days.
Yeah.
Goliath conquered Israel for 40 days before David defeated him.
Yeah.
Three kings reigned each. Saul, David, and someone else because it popped off. But, so, I mean, 40 is a... They're making a point that 40 is a very important number, and the Israelites in the desert for 40 years. So, but
isn't
remember Ezekiel? But we forget Moses. That's like that's kind of like
40 generations. 40 generations. 40 generations. Wasn't
I think that's 14 generations.
Oh, 14.
You're
3
you're right.
of 14.
Right. Yeah. 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and the funny thing is. It's not 14, for what? It's only 13. You count them up. there in, I think in Matthew or wherever, which is kind of in line with my feelings about the way the Bible works, you know.
I'll tell you 14 minutes.
If you're insistent on having it be totally accurate, you got a little problem there, you know.
Is that in Matthew, though, is that where it's saying from so-and-so to so-and-so
yeah,
to
right.
so-and-so?
Yeah, from the... from Abraham to the the captivity is 14 generations, and then from captivity until Christ is 14. Maybe
you're saying there's
you remember
only
what those 14 things are.
You're saying there was only 13 in each of them.
No, in one of them, maybe there's three 14s.
Yeah, there is three 14s. I remember
forget what they are.
Trying to add it up and see how it would come out with trying to get an idea when the last days were.
Connection with the 14. Yeah. I don't think that quite works out.
You can't make it. No. By numbers, you can't make it happen.
Yeah, right.
Which is good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. But it can get you in the vicinity, I think.
Yeah, you know. I don't know. They call a generation 30 years. And so 3 times 14 is what? 420?
No, not 400. 3 times
14? A generation, I think they talk about it as being 30 years.
Oh.
So it'd be 3 times,
yeah.
Or 30 times 14.
One, there's another reference, that always catches me when I read it. Is, and I think Jesus says, and this generation will not pass away. But at first when you read it, you think he's talking about then, but he's not. Because there's a description of when that of that generation.
When the figs.
Yeah.
The leaves come out on the fig trees. Then you'll know.
Well, and there's other happenings going on too in the world,
right?
Yeah,
that have to line up.
I think maybe the formation of the nation of Israel was an interpretation of with the figs, fig trees,
the cathedral or something.
The scripture that you're looking for was Matthew 1:17. So all the generations from Abraham to David. Are 14.
Oh, David. Okay.
From David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14. So that's
but
Abraham, David to Babylon, Babylon to Christ.
But if you count up the one of them says, "Whoops, it's only 13. There's only 13 of these guys." I don't know if you want to do all the counting right now, but. It says 14, but it was actually only 13 of them.
Once Legion was when there was one or two people that he met, that was pretty simple. How do you get one or two wrong? 13, way back, clerical error. But that is be a fact you think you could have gotten right. I mean, was it really 7 loaves or 6 loaves? I mean, you can't count to 2. Everything gets suspect, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It, God's way of being true is different.
Amen.
Yeah.
I thought what Barb shared Sunday was pretty good. She just either found on the internet about when eternity and time intersect.
Yeah.
I mean, that little phrase there, kind of like, I had to stop and kind of circle around that twice, going, yeah, that's a lot to get your head around.
What does that mean?
Well, to me, I think, to me, it's talking about, we're striving for eternity. I mean, but you and I don't really sit around and say, well, I can't wait till I'm eternal. we don't think that way because we're stuck in these natural bodies and we're in this natural state. But time will stop when we're called home.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, well, how can time meeting eternity doesn't make sense because that time doesn't go for eternity.
That's right.
Is that the point that was being made?
Yeah, I think so. We leave this timed realm and into an eternal realm.
Then there will be no more time.
Yeah, right.
Time, well,
time will be no more.
Yeah, maybe it would have been clearer in the natural set where time is replaced with eternity instead of intersecting.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But intersected does convey an idea there, though.
Well, there's a crossing.
We got a meeting here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, time is limited. It's going to stop when he comes again. You know, time will stop then, and eternity then starts. So it's an interesting. I had never, you know, kind of thought of it that way, and I don't know why. Because obviously, I had all the concepts about. You know, we've got this natural time, and then you stop, and you die, and then, you know, but then you know, and so is that even time for you to stop, and then you wait, and how long you wait before God comes again.
There's a place where it will give you a hint of that in Revelations, because it says, and the sun nor the moon will no longer shine, and that's how time began, was...
Yeah.
Sun and moon, you know.
And the sun will be, the sun, S-O-N, will be providing the light.
Yeah. Well, okay, this gate should be shut. Let's see. I might say it before that, where I was just looking.
When the Bible says, like in John or in the book of Revelation or of Genesis, it says in the beginning, it's kind of like in the beginning of time.
Yes, it doesn't say the beginning of eternity, does it?
No.
Yeah.
And with God, a thousand years is one day. Well, I can understand that. I mean, with the limited ability I have, that time is of no essence to God. You know, it doesn't mean anything. And he stuck it in there for our sakes. Mm-hmm. And
time really is a limiting thing, though, for us.
Yeah.
And God does not have those limitations. It's
here's how it actually says: the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you illuminate it? You got to kind of pause and then say it. Because if you try to say it too quick, it runs.
Illuminated.
Yeah. That's why I couldn't get that to come out.
Okay, well.
Kept running it right away.
Yeah, that's. You can put that one on the translators.
Now, this is interesting. I don't know that I ever picked up on this before. 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Then they shall see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. I think that always went whose face? There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever. Lots of little references all in there. Yeah.
The natural is replaced by the supernatural, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We require the sun out there for light.
Yeah.
No more need of that.
probably would be kind of hard. Maybe this will create a, something on the tape, but probably be pretty hard for people to understand that God's actually could be in control of supposed global warming and everything else, you know. Because if it brings ends up bringing everything down, well, then it's because God wanted it, and He was in it, you know. But nobody wants to think that there's end days either, if you're in the natural, you know. Mm-hmm. No one wants to think it's ever going to end. Although they try to scare you with global warming that it's going to end if you don't fix the earth, you know.
Yeah, the theory is that people have very seldom count on God.
Oh, yeah. It's all man's going to, yeah. Got to do it.
Oh, they turn around and say, how could a loving God let that happen? Like, yeah. This is the whole deal, you know.
How loving are you that you can do this and this and don't care about murders and everything else and falling nations and babies being aborted and, you know. What kind of human being are you? What kind of a God is that? You know?
Well, I can handle it.
It's pretty easy to blame someone else. Pretty hard to blame yourself.
Yeah.
Take
or whatever. Yeah.
Take responsibility.
There's nothing honest going on, I don't think, when you pose, how could a loving God, or, well, at least you're being very limited in your thinking.
Oh, very limited.
Yeah.
How come you have free choice?
Yeah.
Well, because He's a loving God. You know, he's a righteous God. He's a just God. You
even wouldn't have the wherewithal to ask the question if it wasn't a loving God.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You owe your life to God. Yeah.
Who else can grant you life eternal? Mm-hmm. That's a pretty pretty great gesture, wouldn't you think, for your measly little 80 to 100 years on this earth or whatever.
Regardless of what kind of pain or whatever you went through.
Yeah, 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 right. Which I need to remind myself of a whole lot more than I do. You know, why am I skinny? So, you know, I only got to endure for this lifetime.
Look light affliction.
It really is, you know.
It's a light affliction.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, hey, right now the only thing we know is this realm, so we tend to get your priorities all messed up.
You know, that's one thing that He's been showing kind of subversively to us listening is all of a sudden we're realizing these things, you know, that the natural is just it's minor, you know, that He's got this spiritual and it's far outweighs anything in this natural, you know, it's, and He's going to give it, and He's beginning to give it, you know, He's given us insight to what it can be somewhat, I mean, mm-hmm. Very smallly, but
power,
but it is, it's,
you'd have to say it's through a glass darkly, you know, that whatever that, you know, but you can make out a little bit through a dark glass. So, you
know. And it says it'll make that become more and more clear, more and more evident.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just.
It'd be good.
You know, that's the God can just make it go boom. In anybody, in any one of us, He can just make a complete transformation. And we can be going along thinking, why? I got to be doing this, I got to be doing that. And He'll go, no, I have to be doing it. And then it'll be, boom!
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we really want to drive the bus, no matter how many times we tell ourselves we're not driving the bus.
Well, yeah, well, you know, when you get the when you realize that you are failing, you know, which is a good thing, as long as you do it under conviction, not condemnation. But then it's like, yeah, so then let God do it. You know, I mean, it's hard to not want to fix yourself because you know you're not right. And, or try to, it's a tricky situation there. It's like, yeah, you don't want to just sit around and say, oh, God's going to fix me, you know. But in a way, it's kind of like you got to have a faith that he will fix you, you know.
I'm kind of dealing with a situation myself right now where along those lines, and I put myself out, you know, Lord, you know, take me out of the shade and into your light, you know, go ahead and do, you know, I've got to do that work, Lord, do that work,
yeah.
Get it, you know, don't.
Yeah. See, don't. I think that's maybe the key. You don't just sit back, but you're asking for help.
Yeah.
You're asking for something to be done. See, if you didn't really care, you wouldn't ask. You'd just say, no, it's going to happen. And
yeah, right.
I can just do what I'm doing. And,
and there's an element of confrontation, you know, when you you don't want it to be concealed. You want it. You know,
yeah.
The light shine on it. Shine your light on this thing.
I know. In the last few weeks, I've been feeling some convictions. You know, and it's kind of waking me up a little.
And yeah, it's easy. As we were saying earlier, Glenn was bringing up. You've got to want it. You can't just sit back and say, "Well, God will do it," and God will do it whether I want it or not. If that's what God wants.
Yeah.
Because on one hand you go, we got free will, we can do it, you know, and then you go, well, but if God wants you to do this, you know, he'll do this. And so you have free will until God says.
I wonder. You know, the rich young ruler really did have an opportunity to, you know, he had an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
He could have said, well, okay.
I believe you. I'll sell everything.
I'll sell everything. Give to the poor. Value. I mean, he could have done that.
Sure,
he could have done that. And you know, he'd be better off right now if he had.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sometimes we make too many maternal things our God.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Oh, I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible talks about inordinate affection, meaning having affection with thing that's out of the right kind of priority. And, you know, when you have an inordinate affection, that needs to get fixed.
Goes hand in hand with idols, doesn't it?
Yes, goes. Yeah, it's a kind of idolatry.
It's an idol.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. So Lord, wash us of inordinate affection.
Yes. Yes, Lord, do that.
Yeah, everything we own can be replaced. But, you know, you can't replace your soul.
That's right.
Going one place, you know, that's where you're going to go. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say here, but it's...
Well,
you spent too much time on maternal things.
Yeah, right. No, you're absolutely right, though, Ken. Here, Glenn. We're talking... everything else is, replaceable, whatever.
Yeah.
Soul, that's a different deal altogether.
Yeah. Your kingdom where you're going to be. Right. Actually, if you think about it, it is going to be your kingdom if you're either up or down.
Yeah,
it's your kingdom.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
You end up in.
Yeah, the only thing of value you have that God is interested in is your soul. And because God wants it, that's what the enemy's trying to take key from him.
Yep.
And that's everything else. Nice car, nice clothes. Yeah, none of that stuff really matters. How much money? None of that stuff you take with you.
Yeah, You know, when Jesus sent the disciples out, he says, don't take this, don't take that, don't do this. You know, don't take nothing. He sent them out with just what they had on their back.
Yeah.
You know? You know, I mean, how far would I go that way? There's McDonald's.
I just read that in Matthew where he gives, you know, he's talking about, well, if God feeds a sparrow, you know, how much more is he going to take care of you? Mm-hmm. And there's a whole bunch of little references there that I read that I needed to, just to keep me from not looking around in this world thinking, woe is me, you know. No, you just got to trust and have faith in your God, and he'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Well, we were, I told you before, we got this pine tree on the south side of the house there, it's by the window, and we got feeders in there, and we can open up the window. We took the screen out, so we just open up the window and throw feed out or whatever. There's a lot of ground feeding birds out there. And yesterday, the wind was just a howling, and we were looking at them poor birds out there in that wind trying to eat, you know, and we're thinking how God keeps these birds warm and alive in this kind of weather, you know, and it's just, I can't comprehend it, you know, that these little birds can survive out there like that.
You know. Oh, it's remarkable, yeah.
I'll tell you, the bird that amazes me is this crow. It'll be 30 below zero with 15-mile-an-hour wind, and they're out flying around in it, you know?
Seem to be enjoying themselves.
Yeah, and they can't eat all that often. I mean, because, you know, they got to find the right thing to eat, of course. And they're, we've caught, had a young one, and then we also caught an old one where his eye was blind, and you could tell he'd been in fights, and they're just, there's no fat. I don't, you know, they're just. And you think, like, their limbs, there's nothing there. How do they not freeze? But they don't, you know.
Well,
they're just, so, you know.
Yeah, I read that, you know, like, even deer or cattle, you know, their blood comes down on the outside, the warm blood, and it goes up through the marrow on the, when it's cold, to warm up on the way to the heart. You know.
Okay.
So it's not like ours are kind of more exposed. And, you know. So it's, they're constantly getting warm blood all the time around going through it.
Plus they're made up nerve and everything. System.
I don't have no idea what their heart rate is or.
I mean, it's amazing.
Hummingbird.
But the argument is God's the architect of all, and he says, you, I'm going to give a brain, go get some mittens.
Yeah.
You, don't get mittens, but we're going to make it work the other way, a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a great
and you know, a bird or an animal are born with instinct. You know, they're born with it.
Mm-hmm.
Man is not.
Yeah.
We're actually dumb when we're born.
Yeah, if we had it at one time, we sure don't have it anymore.
I either heard or read somewhere that a bird stays warm by shivering.
Well, the motion or something, huh?
Yeah. They shiver, I keep them warm.
Well, I've heard that people do the same thing.
Yeah, it works with people too, to a certain degree.
But I do know birds also tend to puff out.
Yeah.
They kind of float out their feathers to hold more air.
Kind of insulation there.
And then they heat up that air, and that air and that puffed out. So if you see a bird in a cold day and you see that bird, he's puffed out, he's working to stay warm.
Yeah.
This is what I. Well, little I know, but
insulation. Yeah, serves as a.
Well, squirrels look like squirrels do the same thing. They kind of fluff up too, the way it looks.
Or they've been eating in our house.
Yeah,
a lot of fast squirrels around our place. I promise I'll get a picture for you guys. We had the 40. We had the gang of 40 come in yesterday afternoon.
40 turkeys?
Yeah. Well, I was inside, and all of a sudden I was like hearing turkey calls, and I'm going, well, what's going on? You know, I looked at and I said, oh wait. So I kind of looked out in the backyard. Yep, they're all around 40. I didn't stop to count them, but it's a big group.
I wonder what in the world happened, because it had been a little over 20.
Well, I think there was two groups of 20.
It had to have been they joined.
I wonder
what benefit there is to.
Well, they always kind of do that in the winter. They always flock up.
They huddle up. I think protection. We have noticed too the last 2 or 3 days. A single, I'm assuming it's a Jake, a young adolescent. He's not big enough to hang with the old males, and I've heard before that like adolescent male turkeys are by themselves. Occasionally they'll, you know, like young bucks sticking with young bucks and not going with either does or other big bucks. They gotta hold the marking next year maybe.
Yeah.
You can run it. You could be the big table. But we've seen this one turkey by himself now, like 2 or 3 days, kind of. And talking about survival instincts, you know, I can put seed out or corn out or whatever, and invariably within 20 minutes, it's like someone hit a sign and hit the bullhorn. Food's now out. Because I 3:30 in the afternoon, and all of a sudden I got 4 deer in the backyard.
Yeah, some got plenty, a communication system,
light.
Huh?
Plenty of light. They're not waiting for twilight. They're in for food.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I throw peanut salt for the squirrels.
Oh, yeah.
You know. But then I end up with the crows and the blue jays and the squirrels and, you know.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they're smart about what they have to be smart about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they have their preferences, but, you know, when it gets scarce, pretty much everything works. Which kind of reminds us, you know, we really like it when things happen, but when it's quiet, we buckle down and, even a morsel is a good thing. Even the dogs wait at the master's table for the crumbs.
Mm-hmm. End it with that.
Mm-hmm. I got a couple things I'd like to read, just that I kind of went through. Actually, the other day I was looking at trying to learn the location of the books of the Bible and New Testament, which I don't know, and I'll have to admit to that. And then I was looking at it, and I thought, well, that's interesting. You've got all the, I don't have them all with me, but you got the Galatians, the Thessalonians. They're all in the IANS numbers, or letters. So it's like they're all put in that sector. But anyway, that was just what I picked up trying to learn them. But just a couple of things. I got Colossians here, chapter 4, verse 2. Continuing earnestly in prayer, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom between those who are outside, deeming the time. Now, I stopped and thought about that word outside for a little bit, and I thought, you know, those are the people that haven't found Christ yet, or Jesus. That's what I thought, you know, it came to mind when I stopped and thought about that word outside. And I got to find where I left off. Okay. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know you ought to answer each one. These are just things I picked up this morning that have nothing to do with what we're talking about, but they were interesting to me. In Thessalonians 4, verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. And then I read some more, but then on verse 18, I highlighted that because Therefore, comfort one another in these words.
Always like that, comfort one another with these words.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
And I don't read very good.
Oh, no, that's good.
Read just fine.
That's good.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about comfort one another with these words, of course, because other than these words, we don't have anything. So we better make these words work. Mm-hmm. You know, and when we can't make them work, then we say, Holy Spirit, make these words work so that they will comfort us.
And it suggests that you've got to saying them just once doesn't do it.
No,
you got to have kind of a, I don't know, habit or whatever. You do it a number of times, and it'll still be a comfort. You'll still be comforting one another with those words.
Well, and if anybody should know that, we should. I mean.
Yeah.
I just laughed at, you know, Ken's reading. Goes, hey, you know, we were talking, and I just kept reading these two verses, and I go, you know, and I've read these verses like 20 times, but think of it like this, and he goes, da 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 da, and I go, I didn't see that. And I'm going, you know, and so it's kind of like you, at least for me, the only sense that I make of that is I go, well, it was God's timing for him to reveal that.
Yeah.
And to your point, well, why did he reveal it then? Well, I don't know, but I probably wouldn't have revealed it if I hadn't been reading it. You know, so, you know, you need encouragement to be in there?
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't need encouragement, but you could look upon that and say, yeah, God will reveal the more I'm after it.
It is a funny place to be looking for fresh new things, though. Something you would have read many, many times before. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly why that's my.
And you know, I've caught myself a little here in the last few months. I repent, but I kind of, oh geez, I don't know. Do I want to read here? I've read this so many times. It's just, where do I want to read this? Something new or different, you know? Which is a bad place. That's not a good place to be. That should not be my attitude.
I think I've read everything about at least a dozen times now. So you go, well, I want to read someplace new. And you go, no, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to go, I'd like to read someplace where God's going to make something new.
And it's funny because, like today, I thought, well, I was thinking a little bit about Sunday night. And kind of, there was a little bit of a, you know, negative attitude or whatever. And so I thought, well, I want to find that area in Matthew that God says he's going to take care of you. And then you go there, and when you read it, it's like, boy, this sounds good again. You know, it's good to read this again, like, you know.
Fresh man all over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it when he says there in Matthew, he says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
You got enough going on today.
Don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today is sufficient unto itself.
Right.
Implication, but you said it correctly.
Right? Yeah.
But it's a really important reminder. You don't have enough time, energy, or capital to be worrying about the past or the future. Just be focusing on today.
Yeah.
Well, I like, okay, you're worried? Is it going to make you 1 inch taller or whatever?
Yeah.
How does it say that?
Yep.
Will that gain you 1 inch?
Yeah, right.
You know?
No, 1 cubit. I have a cubit. Right.
In other words, it ain't up to you, bud. Please.
You know, if you really could adopt that as what went on in your head, you took that good advice and you stayed with it, and that was always what you did, oh, my life would be better.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, in a way that's, I know exactly what you're saying, but I'm trying to kind of compare that against what I just said, like, if you want new manna, you've got to be reading. You've got to be in the Word. So if you're not in the Word, which you do control. You know, and so I mean, it's like, yeah, he's going to do it, but if you're not in the Word, well, then he's not going to do it. So it's like, wait, these two sound like opposite. You can't do both. And yet, I think that's the fundamental thing that's got to happen.
That's the thing, yeah.
We have to do this, and then God will do this.
But we can't take any credit for it.
Well, it's clear, right? And it's because you did this.
Yeah, right. No,
and even if you did it well, it doesn't. You didn't do it well.
No. That's all right. I'm willing to live with that conundrum.
It is amazing how clear he is that, yeah, your efforts are worthless.
Yeah, right.
Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?
Yeah. But when you get a revelation, you are getting new manna.
That's exactly what
it is. Yes, it is. That's right.
That's what's
happening.
And he did it. Not wasn't you, he did it, but you were at least making the effort to hope to find new manna.
Yeah.
Right? So you can't say you have no skin in that game because you do. But you'd have no impact on the output. Okay, I was in the Bible for 2 hours. It was good, but I didn't get a revelation today.
Huh? You know, I could be going about my business, and then I, you know, or walk by the tape playing, and pick up something. You know, that's happened a number of times. Mm-hmm. Listen to that. Get a little light on something, and go crack the.
I really like that one. Because I know that is really God.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're off thinking about anything but because you're like trying to whatever it is.
Yeah, fix the leak, business.
Fix the leak or, you know, or pack the groceries or whatever. And then something comes up and it catches your ear.
Uh-huh.
And you listen to it for a second longer and you go, oh, that's really good. And you know, you weren't trying to be spiritual. You weren't trying.
No.
But God said, don't need to do that. You just have to have an open heart and just be. That's which is one of the things that when you know, find me where I am, and you no, don't study. Oh, last thing you want to do is study. Put that brain away. And then we had other revelations that just kind of hammer that home. It's not, you know, and it's funny because if all men are created equal, well. Think about that. So, the fact that you all are smarter than me, but I've got an even shot, well, how does that happen? Because it has nothing to do about your natural intellect.
Yeah, right.
Or your ability to recall. I mean, I'm amazed to think that I might have an even shot at getting to heaven as Keith does when he can recall chapter and verse the way he does, and I can't. Not at all. And I look at that and I go, that's a God-given gift.
Yeah.
And it's important for him to have that gift. But
yeah.
But
see, not to interrupt. I can't do that. I can remember certain phrases, but I couldn't tell you where they were in the Bible, but I know they're in there.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's like, does that make one any better than the other? Not, I don't.
No.
I don't think so.
Not in God's
it's just the ability that God has given you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
God's not a person.
It's convenient sometimes, but not, you know, convenience won't get you to heaven.
Yeah.
Is God impressed that you know chapter and verse, or is God impressed that you know?
Yeah, right.
At least that's what I tell me to feel good when I'm around Keith, and he's going, oh, what about this or this or this? I go, oh, yeah, you're right. It's right there, you know.
It's like a test. You get certain parts of the test if we're 75% of your score. Well, there is no score here.
Yes.
You know, it's just what your capabilities are that God gave you. Or is waiting for you to do something so he can open it up more.
Well, I was just going to say that I get a kick out of Joanne when Keith was saying, oh, we're going to have the Bible going, you know. We got things we got to do around the house. You know? We can't just sit and listen to the Bible all the time. We got, you know, she got pleading. You know.
You know, when you think about it, when before there was even TV, you had the radio was always going. You know, there was always something. Radio was going or something. You know, and now of course most places TV is going all day. And so I mean, why shouldn't the Bible be going?
Yeah, right.
You know?
I've thought a little bit about this because I pondered it. You know, man keeps making himself think that he's smarter, and you know, you think back to the shepherds. You know, they had lamps to kind of do things at night, but they spent a lot of time stargazing because they didn't have a lot of light, right? So, but they must have gotten together at meal or during the day, maybe, and they talked about the scriptures. I mean, you know, handing them down generation to generation, repeating the scriptures, because not everybody was walking around with the scrolls, right? And the press wasn't around, so you didn't even have a hard copy to read. It had to be from, like, the leader of that tribe or the father and to his sons and grandchildren, and they, you know, they had the family meal or whatever meal, and that's when a lot of this teaching went on, but it went on every day. Noah had to run down to this birthday party or that jazzercise class or this wine tasting. I mean, you didn't have none of that stuff. You were just like, we have enough food to eat today and maybe tomorrow, and this is what we're going to do. We're talking about God. And I said to myself, you know, the way things go, the enemy uses all these other things that distract us. I mean, kind of back to the comment about idols. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, I really like the golf, and so, you know, I can spend some time, like, you know, better get a better set of clubs, you know, maybe got to go practice, you know, other people, you know, line up sights or, you know, I mean, whatever it is, whatever you use as a leisure thing, and, you know, we all know that God wants us to be happy, so they're not, it's not bad to do these things, and we fit that in our thinking there, you know, so it's like, you know, God didn't expect us to be just stark. Yet, most of the people in the Bible that have really good stories, they weren't having a lot of excess. David in the cave wasn't going, man, I can't wonder when I can get up and hit the next round of golf, you know. He was like, Lord, just don't let them kill me today. You know, let me get through the night, you know. And so I kind of wonder if that is how the enemy is attacking our walk.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I keep... Yeah. Look at Paul. I mean, he didn't do anything but concentrate on the God, the Word, and the Gospel, you know, and doing the work. I mean, for the pretty much most part, he did work. I mean, he did, you know, labor.
Tent making.
Yeah, tent making, whatever.
Yeah,
so,
when he
pretty simplified otherwise.
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
Yeah.
And we say, well, yeah, but that's then. There wasn't as much going on. Well, if God's as big as he is, he can have you in that place in this world today, even with everything going on, if you want it, you know.
Yeah. These are choices that we make.
And I think he's going to see, that's interesting that it was even brought up, which is a start, because I think he's going to do that. Bring us to that place, which will look impossible.
Our only interest.
Yeah, in a world full of gazillion interests, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I heard an interesting thing not too long ago that you know, in connection with those shepherds out there, you know, people. Would long epic poems, and I'm sure the Bible, they could just recite it. They just had it memorized, you know. And I'd heard the part of the brain that we use to read, and it takes a lot of skill to read, to recognize all those words, to read, reading just requires a lot of brain. Well, they did, you know, if there's nothing to read, you've got an idle part of the brain. What that part of the brain did was memorize stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew your scripture,
mm-hmm.
because you had a brain that was empty of all these, you know, all this stuff.
Well, and there weren't any other stories to read. And there wasn't a 7x24 news channel to be listening to. You didn't have a professional football team to follow. I mean, you basically watched where are the sheep?
Yeah.
Do we have enough food to eat?
Yeah.
And we've only got so many hours of light.
You know, when Paul cites some scripture in Isaiah or wherever, I don't think he got out a scroll and went, you know, he's trying to get it right. He was just relying on his memory.
Right. Well, your point is very valid.
You know.
And
that's where Keith is.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that is pretty obvious is forever and ever and ever. We'll be familiar with these scriptures.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word is eternal.
The Word, heaven and earth will pass away.
Right.
But His Word will never pass away.
Yeah. Gee, does that mean it's kind of important?
Is it any wonder?
If you just sat and dwelt on that every day for about 10, 15 minutes, it'd probably do wonders for us.
Is it any wonder in my desperation that he said, if you want to fight me, you got to look for me where I am and make it understandable to us that that's what he meant.
Yeah. That is interesting, though. You know, we've got the Word in our time frame. Well, it's the one thing. It's going to survive that intersection with eternity.
That's a good point.
That's the promise, too.
What we know will matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the way we know it.
That's right. You know, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples.
Yeah,
I think that's a really important scripture, more than we probably...
Then you're my disciples.
I mean, we all want to be.
Yeah, and you know the truth. And the thing is, we know that we're talking about the truth of the word, but what about just any truth?
Truth within yourself.
What about just any truth?
Yeah, I don't think he's talking about that. He's not talking about that.
Water maker.
But isn't truth important no matter what?
Yeah.
Speaking the truth to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't it say somewhere in there? Maybe I'm wrong, but be truth unto yourself in the Bible. Or is that something else I'm thinking of? Or just flash through?
Well, it is the same.
Come out to yourself.
I don't know if I can say for sure if it come out of the Bible or not.
In the fourth chapter of Ephesians is a major area, you know, where it says... let's talk about this.
I'm on Christmas.
There's a fivefold ministry, and it says, until we come unto the knowledge of the Son of God. And I think that's what's happening to us. People don't come unto that knowledge because they're not thinking about it.
Right.
We're thinking of him. See, one of the things that we got away from was thinking of Jesus as a God. I mean, even Don Burnett.
Yeah.
Well, we read something way in the beginning here today about that it says, and that I would, Paul was saying, I would, or that we would, maybe, be learning or speaking the mysteries of Christ. We read that earlier. the mysteries of Christ, you know. So the knowledge of the Son, you know, it's like there's something to be known, and it's not really apparent necessarily.
Yeah, but we are penetrating that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where light is getting shown on that mystery and revealing it.
You know, one of the, there's a lot of statements, but one of the things that Jesus said was, the Son can of himself do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Ought to give you kind of a hint, shouldn't it?
It should, shouldn't it?
Right. Yeah?
It's a Father that dwells in me that does the works.
And heaven forbid that he could do something. You know what I mean? That was a great attribute.
Yeah.
That in himself, that he could do nothing. If he could start doing stuff, ooh, you know, then he would. Then there would be trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of goes along with that whole thing about man's and his intellect. You know, if you know you can't do it in yourself, you're in a good place. The minute you think, then you're relying on you.
Yeah. You're subject to Adam's curse is what you are.
Right.
When
you've
got the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
You've eaten of that fruit. That's not what happened with Jesus.
Different slant on it. Because you think you know. Your sin remains.
Yeah.
I think one of the greatest blessings that God has given us is to help us to get rid of our self-reliance,
mm-hmm.
our self-confidence, our self-trust. And people think that that's a real asset or a real attribute. And it's not.
Maybe if you want to go score a touchdown or whatever, or win a race, but that doesn't mean anything for eternity.
Yeah.
So,
Paul talks about all the effort people go to win a race, and what they get is this little crown.
He says, I want the crown of righteousness.
I forget exactly how we.
Something like that. There is a crown, but.
An eternal crown of some sort, right?
Yeah, when you get 85, you're not so interested in the touchdown.
No.
What?
You're not interested in the touchdown.
Right.
Being sarcastic. Well, we love you all.